Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.
Off the ball, GAA.
I tell you, I never enjoyed a year as much as this year. And again, just some of the chances to me to do any regrets. I said, not a single one, like literally not one. It was one of the most enjoyable years I have playing for Limerick.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join. Football on Off the Ball.
Brought to you by William Hill. Download the app and play today. 18 plus gamblingcare.ie.
This is News Talk.
You are welcome back. So, as you'll know by now, it was a very successful international window for the Republic of Ireland women's team over the past week. They edged out Belgium 5-4 on aggregate over two legs to get themselves promoted to League A of the Nations League. That means a more forgiving playoff path to the 2027 World Cup has been carved out should the team require it. Republic of Ireland and Nottingham Forest's Chloe Mustaki, I'm happy to say, is with us on the line. Chloe, how are you doing?
Yeah, good. Still recovering from Tuesday, but no, feeling good and feeling positive.
Recovering in a physical sense or recovering from the emotional high that Abby Larkin delivered to the whole country?
Yeah, a bit of everything, to be honest. Obviously, two tough games in, 4 days or 5 days. So from a physical perspective, just still recovering from that a little bit. And then, yeah, the highs, kind of obviously the lows in moments throughout the game on Tuesday and then the eventual high at the end. Yeah, I'm still a little bit all over the place.
What happens during those low moments in game? Who's talking? Who's doing the G'ing up for all their fellow teammates?
Well, obviously, Katie's captain, so she's leading from the front, and she gathered us into a group huddle on the two occasions. And yeah, I think everyone kind of has something to say, but it's mostly her leading from the front.
Okay, because it's a really, really difficult thing, even as a spectator, to try and get yourself into the mindset of, hold on, there's actually loads of football left to be played, and not to get too down on what has just happened to your team, given you care so much about it. So as a player, I can imagine that's tenfold. Controlling that emotion must be a real part of the job.
Yeah, no, it is. Obviously, you have to stay concentrated, but also not let kind of the emotions come over you. So it's difficult. You kind of have a couple of minutes where obviously the ball hits the back of the net, you regroup, you process the information, and then you just got to be front-footed again and go again and hope that obviously we can turn the game around.
Obviously, this is a huge result. It's a huge outcome. I still think we're all coming to terms with the Nations League format, and maybe in a few years' time, if Ireland are playing at the next World Cup through the playoff route, people will come back to the goal that Abby scored and be like, wow, that was a really, really significant moment. Maybe we just kind of need that to happen first before we appreciate it. But you guys are all aware of how important this two-legged affair was. So what do you talk about in the build-up to this Belgium game? Do you lean into its importance? Do you actually try and take the edge off it a little bit? What do you do with that element of pressure?
Well, we spoke about in the meetings about obviously taking each game individually. And then, you know, we reflected a little bit back on obviously the win over Scotland in the previous road to the last World Cup. So, you know, we've been in that situation before. So I suppose gleaning on that experience and then obviously using the quality that we have in the team and what we've built over the past couple of years since the last World Cup, and hopefully, using all of that to our advantage in the two games.
Yeah, the building since the last World Cup is a really interesting thing that I wanted to ask you about, because we can draw a straight line from, you know, the last World Cup to the real disappointment of not qualifying for the Euros then this summer after the playoff with Wales. And then since then, you've obviously had a whole host of retirements over the past month or so, a change of manager. So it's not always easy to identify where the trajectory is at with this team. So what's the truth when you're in camp with regards to the direction of travel of this team?
Well, look, obviously, with not qualifying for the Euros, that was hugely disappointing for everyone involved. You know, we made a massive leap forward by qualifying for the World Cup. And then you kind of hope that deep down, that's the start of a new era for Irish women's football and that we continue to qualify for major tournaments. But I mean, women's football all over the world is growing, so it's not just us. And so it was a disappointment, but we have huge quality within the team. And then obviously we have a great coaching staff, technical staff, and all the staff involved who work night and day to, you know, to put us in the best place possible once we cross over that line. So, look, we believe that we have it all. Obviously, all other nations are improving as well. So we just got to hope that we improve at a quicker rate than the others. I think we have the quality and, as I said, the input from the staff to get us to the next World Cup. So hopefully that will happen.
Obviously, you made your own comeback in terms of like starting for Ireland this summer in Denver, away to the United States. So what was your experience of watching the Wales game prior to that? Obviously, you're as devastated as anybody else when it doesn't go Ireland's way, because I'm sure you would have been involved in Switzerland. But what's your actual experience of that playoff not going Ireland's way?
Yeah, it was hard watching from home. I don't know. I mean, credit to Wales, to be honest with you. Like, that was the first time that they qualified for a major tournament. And to be fair to them, they have fantastic quality in their squad as well. And they were probably due, you know, a major tournament qualification as well. So unfortunately, it came at our expense. You know, over a couple of games, anything can happen. And credit to them, you know, you could tell they really wanted it. And unfortunately, the luck just didn't go our way. So yeah, it was very difficult watching from home. But it doesn't change the quality that we have. And then obviously we've got kind of fresh coaching staff that have come in and changed things a little bit, and bringing a bit of freshness never does any harm. So yeah, hopefully now we're kind of in a good place and we'll continue to build over the next 12 months or so and hopefully qualify.
Was that a motivating factor for you? Is it a motivating factor for you? Or is the fact that you had that little bit of distance from the team at the time, it's not as big a motivator for you?
Well, from my perspective, I was only coming back from injury this time last year. So that was kind of the reason for my absence. Obviously, you know, with a new manager, they've got a fresh perspective on every player, and it's somewhat a fresh slate for everyone. So coming back into the fray, you know, kind of 6 months ago, you know, I was just biding my time. Obviously, as you mentioned, we had a lot of massive players retire, the likes of Megan Campbell, who's obviously been fantastic for the team over the past however many years she's played for the senior team. So it does give opportunities for other individuals like myself to come in and try and prove my worth and hopefully get more game time going forward.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.
So the latest injury that you had to come back from coming into this year then was a hip injury, right?
Yeah.
So what happens with regards to that injury? Did you realise at that point it was instantly going to be something that keeps you out for a long period of time, or is it one of these really annoying ones that recovery kind of seems close but it just takes ages?
Yeah, so unfortunately, I had quite a serious injury. So basically, essentially what was happening was the top of my femur, which sits in your hip socket, was starting to collapse in on itself. Kind of like a freak incident is called avascular necrosis. So they suspect that it was like the start of AVN. And I had got, I was getting a little bit of hip pain, but mostly on the outside of my hip. So we presumed I had a bit of cartilage tear. That's why I was sent for the MRI, almost 2 years ago now. And lo and behold, there was cartilage tear, but then an incidental finding was that the top of my femur was under a lot of stress and there was a little crack. So I was told at that point that I may never play football again. I may need a hip replacement. And it was basically like almost straight away, like non-weight bearing. I had played against Brighton and I had found this information 3 days later. So it was like kind of really, really freak finding. But thank God it was like early stages. So straight away, kind of within a couple of weeks, I was offloaded on crutches, non-weight bearing for 3 months. And then from then on, it was just kind of a waiting game to see whether or not I would get back playing. To even get back playing for Ireland is huge. So, yeah, it's been a difficult road, but trying to enjoy every moment of it now.
Oh, my God. That's insane. I hadn't heard that before.
Yeah. It's not something like that was really kind of, it was disclosed as a hip injury, which technically it is, but it was kind of like a freak injury, and they don't really know the source of it. They don't always know what causes avascular necrosis. Again, just dealt a shitty card and just had to deal with it. I was in the hands of a fantastic surgeon and specialist who helped me back. Now I'm back playing. I'm back playing kind of about a year now, and then obviously made it back into the senior team last February. Just trying to enjoy it, not put too much pressure on myself, and just hope that I stay fit.
That's incredible. So do you know if you can undo the impacts of AVN? Because it does do some damage to the bone, which I presume can be permanent. Can you regenerate that?
Yeah, so luckily, because we had found it at a very early stage, the bone wasn't, like, it is still to this day, like, slightly flattened or slightly affected. I had two different 5-day stints in hospital where I had like a drug infusion that allowed like for better bone regeneration. So it was a combination of different things. I was offloaded completely, but also I had those two stints in hospital to try and like help the bone heal quicker. It was like a really, really difficult time for me because like I obviously didn't know A, whether I'd get back even playing, would be whether like I'd need a hip replacement at the age of 29. So like it was pretty intense. But like at the time, obviously I was with Bristol City and they were fantastic. They got me a fantastic surgeon, hip specialist, who was amazing. And yeah, they just took care of me. So I was well looked after.
I presume at the start, there's all these things like, I mean, more mobility, Chloe. You need to just work on the hips a little bit more and this pain will go away.
Yeah. Well, it was kind of like just niggly pain.
Right.
And then, as I said, kind of more in tune with like cartilage tear, which I'd had on the other side of my hip years ago. But I was still playing away. And then I don't know how the body sometimes like manages to like cope for a certain period of time before like it breaks. But it was funny because like in the weeks after I got the diagnosis, like I started to get like that deep ache that like is more in line with like obviously like kind of a stress fracture or like bone issues, where like my body was obviously like relaxing into the fact that like I was aware that there was something going on, where it was in the months previous where this may have obviously started, maybe my body was like just coping and like, you know, I don't know. It's crazy. I obviously don't know the science behind it, but it was just crazy how up until the point where I found it, like I wasn't really struggling with that deep bony ache. And then once my body relaxed into, okay, like she's aware that now there's this big issue and we don't have to try and mask it anymore, like I started to actually really feel that pain. So, it was crazy, but like, thank God we found it at an early stage, because a couple of months later and it would have been a totally different story probably.
Completely, and not just for your football career, right? It would have been like quality of life.
Quality of life, everything. Like, yeah, it would have been a huge change for me, going from obviously full-time footballer to hip replacement. Would have been struggling for months and months to like really get that mobility back. So it really took a toll on me mentally as well. It was kind of like the straw that broke the camel's back for me. Like obviously I'd been through like a lot with the cancer diagnosis, the ACL. I had osteitis pubis as well my first year turning pro. Didn't know whether I'd be involved like in the lead up to the World Cup. Made that. So serious highs and lows. And then, you know, in the WSL, started to get game time leading into Christmas, and then bam, out of nowhere, I was diagnosed with currently early stage AVN. So yeah, it's been crazy. I could write a book, probably will write a book at some stage. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, it just allowed me to kind of feel more like calm coming back then, and just more like a little bit more mellow about things, because like you just never know what's around the corner, really.
As in, you were mellow about the comeback this year?
So when I got back pain a year ago, I remember people saying to me at Bristol, even like, you just seem so much more calm, you know, like just a bit more like stress free. Cause obviously when you're in that professional environment, you're eat, sleeping, breathing football, and it can be so like consuming. But I just felt coming back, I was just happy to be just out training, no pressure on like, you know, whether I trained well, whether I started. Obviously, as time goes on, that creeps back in a little bit because you kind of forget about what's happened in the past. But like, I remember in those first few months when I was back playing, I was just really just enjoying myself and trying to like take the pressure off everything, because of obviously like 9 months before that, I was in like crisis mode. So it's been crazy turnaround. But
did you play better as a result of that mellowness?
I don't know. You'd have to ask my teammates. I don't know. I mean, I had a fairly decent season last year with Bristol, to be fair. But yeah, probably. But as I said, as time goes on, you get back into the routine of just getting used to playing. Then you kind of just get wrapped up into the highs and lows of football again. It's really hard at this level, elite level, to like be just like at a constant, you know. It's always just highs and lows the whole time, which is very difficult to deal with. So I try my best to do that, to just remember what I've been through. But yeah, it can be difficult.
Yeah, like I wonder as well, Chloe, I'm not sure what your experience has been, but I do wonder if people take the experiences that you've been through in your life and innocently throw that back at you in a way that you don't kind of want to hear, you know. Like, obviously, you know, going through cancer and beating cancer, I'm sure plenty of people have said, well, geez, that might put a footballing injury into perspective. I'm sure that's literally the last thing you want to hear when you're going through a footballing injury, right?
Yeah. I mean, the catchphrase is always like, oh, you've been through worse. But yeah. It's like, right, well, do I deserve to be going through this again?
Yeah, it doesn't fix my hip.
Yeah, I mean, like, oof. You feel like, oh, I've already been dealt a shit card. Why do I need to be dealt another one, type thing? But it is what it is. And you honestly, it's like, you can't change it. You just need to react positively to it as much as possible. So, I don't know. But to be fair, I mean, everyone was amazing, especially Bristol at the time were great. And friends, family, as always. But it definitely was the straw that broke the camel's back. I mean, you talk about resilience. I really felt like I was such a resilient person until that happened to me. And then I just, like, it's like I just lost. I just felt like I had nothing left to give. You know, that was like fourth strike, really. And I was just like, I don't know, you know. And I, and obviously at the time, it wasn't just you're out of football. It was like, you know, you might struggle to walk for the next few months if you need a hip replacement. You might never get back playing any form of kind of like elite sport. So it was like, obviously, quite tough.
Did you consider retirement?
In that moment in time, I did kind of struggle to see a way forward. All I wanted really was to avoid a hip replacement at that point. I just wanted to be able to just not have to go down that route. And then I was just like, I'll reevaluate in the summer, because my contract was up with Bristol anyway in the summer. And I just thought, maybe now's the time to just pack it in. I felt like I had nothing left to give in terms of like fighting back from, you know, such a difficult injury and such a difficult time and stuff. So I felt like actually that was the first time that I really considered, well, actually maybe now is the right time to just walk away. Even if I didn't need the hip replacement, I thought, God, I don't know if I can keep doing this. But yeah, I think like once I got through the toughest period of being like non-weight bearing on crutches, I mean, like, just the simple things of life, just going into the supermarket. Like, I had a backpack on my bag on my back just to be able to like pack things while using my crutches. I mean, like, that's the sort of stuff, it just wears you down. Like, but once I got over that kind of really crappy stage and I was kind of off the crutches around like middle of May or so, then you start to see a little bit of light at the end of the tunnel, and then you're like, well, okay, maybe I can do this. And like, you know, so, you know, when you're in that, the depths of despair, it's really just like one day at a time. That's all you can really do, is just one day at a time. You get through the first, you get over the first hurdle, and then you're like, okay, well, what's next? And then you get over the second hurdle, and then slowly but surely things seem to like feel a little bit more kind of achievable, I suppose.
I know it's like a fairly trite remark to make, but what you just explained there, I'm sure, was a fairly similar step-by-step approach you've had to make to the other challenges in your life, like even the ACL. I totally understand the straw that breaks the camel's back analogy, and most of us listening would absolutely have packed it in there and then. But the fact that you didn't, there has to have been something from your previous experiences that did push you on. Like from when we were talking at this juncture in November 2025, like, it must have played some sort of part in it.
Yeah, I'm sure it did, to be honest. I'm sure it did. And then you always feel like, oh, like, I feel like I have more to give and I feel like I've not reached my potential. And that's probably the thing that is the biggest sucker punch of all is, you know, I turned pro quite late in my career for different reasons. And then, you know, it's like, feels kind of like it's still been one thing after another. And then it's hard because I feel like I have potential and I feel like, you know, you start to think of the what ifs and like, what if all that hadn't happened? Like, where would I be today? And like, you know, would I've made it to kind of one of the, you know, you start to think. But so I just felt like, oh, I couldn't give up last summer, or the summer before. I just thought I still have more to give. You know, I had gotten into the swing of things of playing in the WSL, and like, I got, you know, a taste of like really playing at the highest level, and then it was just all of a sudden taken away from me. And I just thought, no, I can do this, and I have potential that I've not really been able to show yet. So, and then, yeah, obviously when you've been through tough times and you've overcome them, that does kind of help a little bit in those moments.
How is life at Forest at the moment?
Yeah, it's great. Obviously, change is always a little bit strange. And I had an amazing 3 years at Bristol. Through all the highs and lows, they were brilliant. And made some really great friends, the staff, and got, you know, quite close with some of them as well. So, but it just felt like the right time for change. And, you know, I felt like I only had a few years left in my career and I wanted to just experience something else as well. So no, it's been brilliant. Obviously the club have huge ambition, the men back in the Premier League, back in Europe and stuff. And then, you know, you hope that they'll have the same push with the women's team, which it seemed like they did when I had conversations last summer. So it's been great, and hopefully we can work our way up the table and be in and around kind of the promotion spots come the end of the season.
And are you coming back into camp this week with a real sort of pep in your step? I presume the mood around the international camp is contagious to any Irish contingent coming back in there.
Yeah. It's always great going into camp. You know, it's nice to have a little bit of a change of atmosphere from time to time. You know, you're so set in your ways at club, and then sometimes just to, you know, experience something else can be quite refreshing. So, and then obviously you're going to see girls that you've played with all your life, you know, in camp, and you've built up like fantastic memories. So it was amazing. And then obviously to top it off, we got promotion to League A. So, it's kind of, I think hopefully bring that energy back into the camp here at Forest, and we've a big game against Southampton this weekend. So, adrenaline's worn off a little bit, but we'll go again this weekend, and we've got fantastic players coming in from kind of other international camps as well. So great quality, and hopefully we can just pull it together this weekend and have a good performance against Southampton.
Just before I let you go, a word on Centurion Katie McCabe, who you would have known long before her first cap for the Republic of Ireland senior team. You go back to being very, very young.
Yeah, we've been playing together since we were kind of 12 years of age, I think it is, playing for Leinster. So, I've heard it the past few days, but her two performances this camp were fantastic. She really led from the front, and in moments where we really needed someone to kind of step up, she did. And that kind of epitomizes her, really. Like, so I'm super proud of her. I'm so happy for her. I mean, like, she moved away from home so early on, and she took a leap of faith that the rest of us in her age group didn't, you know what I mean? So, and it paid off for her. And, you know, she had difficult moments in the early stages as well. Wasn't playing, went away on loan, came back and stuff. And now she's reaping those rewards. So, no, she's been unbelievable for us. And you obviously saw that over the two legs. So, yeah, credit to her. And I'm sure she'll have many more caps to come.
Absolutely. Listen, Chloe, thank you so much for sharing all of that with us this evening. Really, really appreciate that honesty and your time, and there are plenty more caps to come your direction as well in the not too distant future as well. Chloe Mustaki of Forest and of Republic of Ireland, thank you very much.
Thanks.
Football on Off the Ball.
Brought to you by William Hill. Download the app and play today. 18 plus gamblingcare.ie.
This is News Talk.